It wasn't always pretty, but the Packers got their revenge on Colin Kaepernick and came away with a 17-3 victory in San Francisco to improve to 4-0 on the season. How did the Packers do it? We welcome onto the show analyst Eric Baranchek to break it all down. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Packers fans, welcome to Railbird Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking about a Packers 17-3 victory over the San Francisco 49ers on Sunday. And to do that, we have a guest joining us on the phone this morning.
Expert interview.
We have Eric Baranchek, freelance football analyst, writes a weekly column with the Green Bay Press Gazette. He also appears on the Bill Michaels Show weekly, I believe. Eric, am I forgetting anything among these promotions we can give you?
No, not really. I also shop at Quick Trip Time every once in a while, though, this season.
Well, we're glad to have you on the show, and we appreciate your football analysis. I know you do especially a good job with the Press Gazette column you write every week that I read. So, but let's talk a little bit of football here. This Packers defense, how impressive were they coming up with 6 sacks yesterday, allowing a mere 3 points? What's been the difference on this unit compared to previous seasons?
Well, certainly the play, it all starts, I don't care what defense you're talking about, it all starts with the football. It all starts on the line of scrimmage. And the defensive line right now is playing at an exceptionally high level. Outside linebackers are playing pretty solid too. So that's the start of it. Because when you can take offensive linemen and either keep them stalemated or drive them back in the running game, which would be a superior football play, when you can do those things, it makes everything much easier because linebackers can flow to the football. Safeties can come up. They don't have to climb through a bunch of garbage. You know, linebackers can scrape laterally without having to get or go around the defensive lineman's butt. So a lot of those things all starts at up front with the football. And a lot of people, everybody wants to talk about Clay Matthews, you know, Julius Peppers, Sam Shields. It all starts up front with number 76, number 90, and number 64. Those guys are certainly just getting it done up front and making it happen. And then what it ultimately does is now you're looking at 2nd and 8, 3rd and 7, 3rd and 8. Now it's time to pin your ears back. That's easy. That's what defensive people, that's what linebackers want. That's what defensive backs want. That's what the outside linebackers want. When it's 3rd and 8, they're not running a dive. They're not going to run a power up the middle. They're doing one thing, they pass. So, you know, they can pin their ears back. They can get the sack. They can, you know, don't have to worry about the run because it's all handled up front. So, that's where it starts, and that's the end game of it. I think the other thing that was impressive, we finally saw. A lot of times, teams don't just come and shoot all their ammunition in the first week. You know, they don't just empty their clips. They usually do things with a progression of what they're trying to do, and what they want teams to see. And you saw this week. With Clay Matthews playing inside, you know, almost entirely, except for when they're in their dime package, the damage that he can do up the middle, and the 49ers did not have an answer to that. It wasn't the sack; it was chasing seven around, it was moving, you know, that kind of thing that happens with coming after the quarterback right up the middle. That's really hard, and you saw the horrible passes that was caused by some of the rushing, So that's what happens when you're 3rd and 7 and you got guys with their ears pinned back? Now the quarterbacks are sitting there they're on a hot plate, trying to make sure that they can try to get the ball off. Number one, let alone getting their head taken off.
Now, what was it with Clay Matthews yesterday? He seemed extra motivated. He gets the sack on Colin Kaepernick. He tells him he's no Russell Wilson. He's kissing his bicep after this. What got into Clay Matthews yesterday?
Well, I think it's, you know, they put more emphasis on him rushing the fastest from the middle.
Mm-hmm.
I think they knew that they could get him flustered and get his eyes off of the downfield, and they could make things happen up, you know, with some pressure there. That's not always the case with every quarterback. Some quarterbacks are pretty cool and calm on the pressure and they can do whatever. But I think they're going into this game, when you look at the way they lined up and the way that they handled their business, that they were going to be stopping the run, A, number one, and then number two, letting, you know, Seven's arm self-destruct. And you do that a couple of different ways. By dropping eight, what the Packers chose to do was to get after him, and certainly it showed.
I think the secondary deserves a little bit of credit, not just in this game, but pretty much the whole season here. They haven't been getting burned, you know, hardly at all. Well, how are they doing this in large part without Morgan Burnett?
Well, you know, you gotta understand, 21's a pretty solid football player back there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he gets a lot of stuff done, not only in the running game, which we all notice him, but we see it in the passing game as well. He takes good angles. He makes things happen there. The other aspect of it is 37 is a world-class athlete. I don't, you know, if you just think through the season, you know, last week he ran down the receiver coming from the other side of the field. He ran him down to save the touchdown. That interception that he had over Bolden, I think it was, you know, he's baited him for 4 yards, and then all of a sudden the ball's in the air and he just turns on the afterburner and gets up to get it. Not only the speed, but the ability to jump and time the jump. Awesome. I mean, that guy's a world-class athlete. You can't take anything away from him. Not always technically sound. In fact, kind of sloppy, but certainly he's got the speed to make up for it. And then when you look at the young kid, I tell you, that Randall kid, I'm starting to really like him. He goes up and gets after the ball. He's not afraid of the big names. He kind of got burnt on one play. That happens, but I thought the way he competes, the way he goes after the ball is what separates him from a lot of other players. You know, I know he's still learning at that NFL level, but I think they got a guy in here. That cat can play football.
Yeah, he gets his head around, and so many cornerbacks don't, which allows him to bat away the football or whatever. That's really impressive, I think. We're talking to Eric
Brown.
Yeah. We're talking
what
to Eric.
I'm sorry, go ahead. I apologize.
I'm just giving you a promo here. We're talking to Eric Baranchek at Railbird Central on a Monday morning here at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. But did you have more to add on Demaryius?
Well, yeah, it's, you know, the way that a lot of people were wondering why they drafted this guy, they drafted him because of his athletic ability. And, you know, you had mentioned that so many quarterbacks, or cornerbacks, cannot get their head around. It's because they're doing, they're got 100% max effort just to keep up with the receivers.
Yeah.
This guy's fast enough, got enough athletic ability where, you know, he's got a little bit left in the tank to turn his head and throw it and look for the ball. That's what's so impressive about him. He doesn't look, you know, he looks kind of put together, kind of funny. You know, he doesn't look like the cornerback, you know, the quintessential quarterback. But I tell you what, that guy can run, and he's got great hips and ability to jump. And I think that, like I said earlier, I think he's one to hang on to. He's going to be a good boy.
Yeah, he's getting about beat once a game here, and maybe if he can clean that up, he'll be really good. Let's talk about the offensive side of the football. They had their struggles, their share of struggles on Sunday, and I don't think they're quite as dangerous when Davante Adams isn't in the lineup. Are they going to continue to struggle as long as he's out?
You know, I'm not, I don't know about that, because I think that 12 makes all the receivers, and I'm not so sure it was a fact of Davante not being in there overall.
Okay.
But, you know, the Niners, I think, had a nice game plan. They stuffed him in too deep all day long. And as we know from years past, you know, Rodgers doesn't like that defense. He's not going to throw into it, you know. And I think, you know, the tight end unit got to come up a little bit bigger at times. And certainly what derailed the Packers this week, their offense. And we can't expect them to put up 30 points a game every week. I mean, every once in a while, the defense has got to step up. And they did. They're a struggling offense. The defense put the foot on the throat and took care of business. Offensively, the first time, I think, this year that they were exposed a little bit at tackle. They understood what the Packers were doing to protect the passer. In weeks past, you saw the tackles just skating the outside linebackers, the defensive ends past. What these guys did on the edge was they were not going to let that happen. They were going to stay inside. They were going to come underneath to take away that little. You know, if you were watching the first 3 weeks, you saw the tackles go skating past with the outside linebackers,
yep.
and Rodgers would step up, slide out either right or left. But that's the scheme that they were running. They know that those tackles are not going to be guys that are just going to man up someone and just stonewall them on the line scrimmage.
Yep.
So this is the first game. The Niners figured out, hey, we don't have the athlete to get around the corner like other guys do. So what we're going to do is we're going to play our game and we're going to stay in tight and not go skating by the quarterback, and we're going to get the quarterback. And they did a nice job.
So how do you combat that? I mean, how did the Packers do this in games coming forward here? What do you do about Don Barkley? I saw some people complain they're not giving him enough help, especially knowing he's kind of the weak link of the unit replacing Brian Bulaga. So what do the Packers do from here to combat that?
Well, they can formation a tight end to his side so that wide, you know, widen up that end, give Barkley a second or mm-hmm. a little extra. The other thing that, you know, that's what the Packers do. They run three wide, maybe one back. You can only, and their back lately hasn't been in the block. They're sending him out as the outlet valve. So I think it's just going to be a matter of if they get into trouble, so if they might game plan some of that kind of stuff. But I think they've felt that they can get away with it, and they're going to continue to do it. I don't see them changing their formations out of that three wide receiver package very often. I think you might see some more, you know, two back sets, if you want to call it that, with a tight end lining up in the H-back or fullback.
Yep.
There could be some more of that kind of stuff. But I think, just running the ball is going to help them out in some of those situations. I think the bigger question is on offense is who's going to be the big strike guy? Because when stuff was breaking down last season, what did they do? If they were able to throw, you know, something big downfield to Jordy Nelson. You have all these receivers, they can do all kinds of things. Everybody's excited about James Jones. Who's going to be the guy that's going to stretch the field like that? So I think you're going to see defenses understand that if we're going to take away the Packers, we're just going to play underneath, and they're not going to run anything deep because they don't, you know, I don't know if it's going to be Montgomery or if they're going to sneak Janice in there more. You know, they got to do something to stretch defenses a little bit.
Yeah. One more question before we let you go, and it's just I know it didn't happen much, but it's just so interesting that it did. What do you make of the personnel looks with Ty Montgomery and Randall Cobb in the backfield at the same time? Was this a novelty, or was this something we'll continue to see more of?
Well, I think you're going to see a lot of it. You know, they activated Aberderis, which means that they want to have more receivers on their roster. I like that. That's a neat little formation. When they want to run outside, they're pulling a bunch of linemen to get out to the edge. It's kind of a neat little package. And what it also does is it puts pressures on defenses, because when you see four or five receivers in the huddle, now you're sending out nickel dime packages and a whole hotel. Now they line up like this. So it puts pressure on defenses, and you can get them in a situation where you might be able to sneak some yards. Get some surprise plays and get them, running the football rather than just trying to, pass the ball. The other thing is, let's look at the Packers running back corps. Those guys are hammers. They're running stuff in between the tackles. They're not going to get to the corner and stuff. So, and you got a bigger guy, 216-pound guy in Ty Montgomery, that could probably handle some hits, and that's still going to be their MO to get to the edge in the running game. You know, I think if they can get personnel matchups, I think they're going to be in good. That could be something we're going to see. We've seen it so far every game. I think this season, I think we're going to continue to see it. It's going to be a part of their offensive package.
Very good. Well, Eric, can you give us a tease of what your column's going to be tomorrow? It comes out every Tuesday at the Green Bay Press Gazette. I don't know if you've had enough time to do it all, but not to give it away, but can you tease it?
I would think line of scrimmage stuff would be something to think about. That's what I like to talk about. And a lot of other guys in the media, they don't like to talk about the offensive and defensive line. They want to talk about 12 and 18 and 27
yep.
All the free boys. But it gets done up front, and then we can talk a little bit about that.
Very good. Sounds good. Looking forward to it. Thank you so much for joining us here on a Monday morning. We appreciate it, and we'll be looking forward to your column tomorrow.
Well, thank you very much. It's my pleasure. I had enough coffee in me so I can talk sensibly, so I appreciate it. Thank you.
Good. Thank you. Eric Baranchek joining us on a Monday morning at Railbird Central. Check him out. Freelance football analyst, writes one column every week at the Green Bay Press Gazette. Like I said, he appears on the syndicated Bill Michaels show every week. So you can get his analysis on some different outlets. And we're glad to have him here at 24/7 Sports and GZ TV as well. And glad to have you, the listener, join us on the show as you do all the time, of course. Let's continue on with our next segment.
Packers news of the day.
So, the Green Bay Packers beat the San Francisco 49ers 17-3 on Sunday to improve to 4-0 on the season. Do you think the Packers accomplished their goal of getting out to a fast start? You know, after three consecutive seasons of starting off the year 1-2, they get through the first quarter of the season undefeated, and now it's a matter of how much longer can they do this? And what's interesting, this upcoming game here, and I suppose we should save this analysis for later in the week, but hosting a St. Louis Rams team that's showing to be pretty dangerous for the first time in quite a while. They've been having some down years for quite a while in St. Louis, but this is actually a dangerous team that's kind of a young up-and-coming team a little bit. Should make for a good game this upcoming weekend. But let's talk about this last game here. What we'll do is, as we usually do every Monday, use the Chips report for our roadmap here from yesterday's game, published at 24/7 Sports in the immediate aftermath of every game. So kind of go over some of the big players and big plays that made this game all possible and a win all possible for the Green Bay Packers. But your blue chip performers from yesterday, James Jones continues to almost stupefy at this point how well he's been playing, considering where he's come from, being released by the Oakland Raiders and New York Giants. How did they ever let this guy go? Yeah, he's not a speed demon anymore, but he still gets the job done. And maybe it's perhaps he just needs a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers to bring out the best in him. But, I mean, the pretty much almost the play of the day was that sideline, toe-tapping, tiptoe, when Aaron Rodgers found James Jones for a 37-yard completion to basically set up the game's second touchdown in the second half there in the third quarter, that set up eventually the John Kuhn touchdown by the Packers. But yeah, James Jones, just on top of that, he led the Packers in receiving yards, had 98 yards on the day, so just 2 yards short of the century mark on five receptions. And he was the only Packers receiver, remarkably, I thought this was an interesting stat, the only Packers receiver to average more than 10 yards per catch yesterday. Packers, you know, finding it hard to move that ball with consistency against that 49ers defense. Of course, they keep that, you know, cover two look, and the Packers, you know, constantly having to go underneath quite a bit. But James Jones, he was the one guy who kind of got loose a few times and made some big plays, and just the for how much he's being paid by the Green Bay Packers. I mean, it's pretty much what the league's minimum for a veteran. I mean, this guy deserves a bonus. James Jones, he's doing a much better job than the minimum salary he's getting right now. So maybe we can take a collection for James Jones. I say that tongue in cheek because he's making far more money than any of us listening to the show or talking on the show could haul in possibly, but outperforming his pay grade. And that's a good thing for the Green Bay Packers. We'll say that. And then maybe one of the unexpected performers here, and maybe because it was so unexpected, is why he got the nod here in this position. But on the defensive side of the football, I think Nick Perry deserves kind of a special recognition this week, coming up with 2 sacks yesterday for a loss of 12 yards on the afternoon. And I thought the most impressive part about it was how, you know, he seemed to give 49ers left tackle Joe Staley some problems. And Joe Staley is no slouch. I mean, this guy is one of the better left tackles in the NFL. Just a solid kind of guy. And Nick Perry gave him all he could handle. And, you know, you get all the attention for the 2 sacks, which was great. I mean, the Packers had 6 sacks on the day. But you know, playing some solid run defense as well. And just, you know, finally, you know, what Nick Perry is right now is he's healthy. He hasn't dealt with an injury since, you know, at least the start of the regular season. I know he kind of had a lingering one there during training camp, but he put that behind him. Since the start of the regular season, he's been fine. He's been healthy. He's been out there, and he seems to be improving every game. He had a little bit of a rough go of it week 1. And but really seems to have improved since there, and you know it's been happening now. Remember in week 2 against the Seattle Seahawks, he had a couple nice tackles. Was it on Marshawn Lynch and one? I think that was a touchdown saving tackle that probably would have been had Perry not gotten him. So just trending in the right direction right now, and good to see from a guy who is a former first-round draft pick and going to be a free agent at season's end. And I don't know if he'll be a member of the Packers after the season or not, but it sure is nice to be getting as much out of him as possible while he's in the green and gold. Hopefully Nick Perry kind of continues to live up to the expectations of a first-round draft pick as the season goes along. That sure would be nice. So kudos to him coming up with 2 sacks yesterday in a total 6 sacks performance from the Packers defense. Your red chip performers, the good but not the great guys, and maybe kind of in the same vein here as Nick Perry a little bit. Sam Shields, both these guys, Nick Perry and Sam Shields, they were among the worst players performers on the field in that week 1 season opener against the Chicago Bears. Remember, Sam Shields got burned like several times, and people were irate for a guy who was named to the Pro Bowl last year. Be like, you expect more out of Sam Shields. Well, that one game appeared to be an aberration, or he's turned it around since that time, because Sam Shields yesterday, of course, coming up with the interception, which we already talked about with Eric Baranchek, high pointing that football, which was the most impressive part. I mean, coming across from across the field as well, turning on the afterburners, getting over to the football, leaping and making the catch in front of Anquan Boldin. That was a terrific play. And yeah, you can't understate the importance of turnovers in the game of football. For Sam Shields to come away with that when the game was still in doubt. I mean, it happened during the fourth quarter and the Packers had a 2-score lead. But as you know, I mean, no 2-score lead is safe in the fourth quarter, as the Packers found out in the NFC Championship game last season. So it was good to see the Packers steal a possession from the 49ers with that interception. So kudos to Sam Shields, who allowed very few receptions on the day, chipped in a few tackles as well, even if they were nothing, you know, they weren't big hits or anything, but just getting the job done, and that's all you need to see from Sam Shields. In fact, coming back from what appeared to be a knee injury in the first half of the game, kind of exited the game for a little while and then came back, gritted out, and played well. So kudos to him. Aaron Rodgers, your other red chip performer, and had a good game. Not a great, I mean, certainly wasn't the most statistically impressive game of his career. You know, just one touchdown pass. I think he had 220 some yards passing. And you know, there were times where he missed his target, certainly, and there were times where just he you know, purposely was basically throwing incompletions, you know, at the feet of a receiver or out of bounds just because he was on the run a little bit, or you know, kudos to the 49ers as well, just coming up with good coverage several times. But I mean, there's something to be said for being smart with the football as well. And again, I mean, especially when you're in a road environment, I don't care how good the team is. I mean, to avoid turning over the football, which is something Aaron Rodgers just continues to do at phenomenal levels, that how few turnovers he actually gives away. And I mean, that's the difference between, you know, the Packers have a 14-point win. I mean, you got one turnover from the team. I'm saying if you had one turnover, that's a one possession game then, probably. And you know, you're sweating that game out. Then Aaron Rodgers to protect the football the way he does is remarkable. But I mean, there were even several times though that still reminded you he's on top of his game. That the completion to James Jones we already talked about, and the touchdown to Richard Rodgers, in which Rodgers, the quarterback, had to elude the pass rush for several seconds, buying time with his feet, rolling out to the left side of the field, and waiting for Richard Rodgers to get open. The tight end had to change directions like three times. As he, you know, just knew not to quit on the play as long as his quarterback is keeping the play alive. And Aaron Rodgers eventually found Richard Rodgers in the back of the end zone. Fantastic play. He makes the left-handed completion to Eddie Lacy. Sometimes you just got to tip your cap to Aaron Rodgers and just know you're watching some mastery happen from the quarterback position. And it really was. You know, once again, fun to watch him do that. Even, you know, if you could argue there's a few times maybe he took sacks. I think there were three sacks on the day when, yeah, maybe he could have gotten rid of the football a little bit quicker, and maybe he was a little bit at fault for some of those. We'll see. You know, Aaron Rodgers still putting the Packers in a position to win, and that's why he gets the red chip on the day. Your cow chip performers, Don Barclay, who we already talked about with Eric Baranchek a little bit, you know, struggling, which is kind of expected. I admire the way he battles, though. He's not getting annihilated out there. And even, you know, sometimes I remember there was the sack he gave up where at least he staved off the initial push from Aaron Lynch there. And stayed in front of him. He just couldn't sustain it for as long as you'd like. Which I mean, that's what I think you gotta expect from a backup right tackle. If they can get that effort out of Don Barclay, you can live with it. But still, he gives up the back-to-back sacks in the fourth quarter on consecutive drives, both happening on third downs, and both drives ending in punts. That wasn't a good, consecutive series there for Don Barclay. And you know, when you've got the most expensive player in the game of football, your investment, you know, your job is to take care of them. And the Packers maybe do have to start giving, you know, Don Barclay a little bit more help in terms that you line that tight end up over there and give a little chip once in a while, or at least you're pushing the defensive end out a little bit further. Maybe they could do that a little bit more. Josh Sitton coming up with the other cow chip for the Green Bay Packers, having two 10-yard holding penalties. I think it was interesting, the second of which came in the fourth quarter, and almost looked as if Josh Sitton, he gets beat and he purposely like rips down the 49ers pass rusher just simply because he knows, man, if I don't hold him, Aaron Rodgers is going to get killed and hit really hard. And from that standpoint, Josh Sitton was probably smart. I mean, the Packers had a 2-score lead at that time and they could afford a penalty at that point, whereas, I mean, one big hit on Aaron Rodgers and his season could be over. But the other side of that is, though, Josh Sitton unfortunately put himself in a poor position to begin with, where his only recourse was to draw a penalty, more or less. And that's what you worry about, is he was kind of out of position and had multiple penalties on the day. So not the greatest game from Josh Sitton, or the offensive line in general. Wasn't the worst showing from an offensive line I've ever seen. If this is the worst game of the season you get from the Packers offensive line, thank your lucky stars, because it really wasn't all that bad. Just kind of the weak link of an otherwise, you know, pretty solid afternoon, in which the Packers come away with a 17-3 victory. But next segment of the show, and rather brief one.
The day ahead.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers, what we're kind of waiting for today is, for one, Mike McCarthy's press conference, which doesn't take place until 6:15 p.m. on Monday, which is later than usual. And the reason it is just because the Packers are coming from a West Coast football game. So, you know, I'm sure, you know, they get on the plane right after the game and they come back, and you know, you're losing, two time zones as you come back. And I'm sure, you know, they got to bed, you know, probably well after midnight. And they're giving these guys a little bit of time to catch up on their sleep today. That's tough coming back from the West Coast. It's a long plane ride and a long trip, about as long as it gets in the NFL. I mean, heading out to San Diego, I'm sure, would be a little bit further in Southern California. But apart from that, it's still a long trip for the Green Bay Packers. And so that's why you're seeing a 6:15 p.m. press conference from Mike McCarthy today. He hosts the taping of his namesake, the Mike McCarthy Show, also on Monday. So, a lot of duties for him later in the day. The talk show circuit takes place on Monday evening. There's a lot of them. I know some of the few that have already announced guests this week. Clubhouse Live, which can be streamed online for free at Packers.com. The guest tonight is Eddie Lacy, who joins co-host David Bakhtiari. If you're interested in watching that, I think this is the week linebacker Sam Barrington is the co-host on In the Huddle, heard statewide in Wisconsin on the Woodward Radio Network. So those are just a couple of the Green Bay Packers players you can hear from this evening, this Monday night, or on replay as well. I'm sure a lot of these are, you know, you can find the stuff online and, you know, listen to it on demand late. You know, if you don't catch it live on Monday, you can watch it on demand, you know, later in the week or tomorrow or whatever. But that's available to you. So we'll have the roundup on our Packers calendar post at 24/7 Sports. So check that out. But that'll do it for today's show. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us here on a Monday morning, a victory Monday, after the Packers improved to an undefeated record on the season, 4-0, and how fun that is to watch. We'll see you later, folks. My call to action, if you've not done so already, please give us a rating on iTunes. This podcast is free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. The one small thing we ask is that you could give us a rating, and we'd really, really appreciate it if you would. Thanks a lot, and many of you have, and thank you for doing so. We'll see you, folks. Thanks to Eric Baranchek for joining us this morning. We'll be back again on Wednesday with our usual Wednesday guest, Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com. We'll see you later, folks. I leave you today with a song called Nemo by Humphreys McGee on Psy Fidelity Records. See everyone. Go Pack, go.